'Tis the old ship of Zion. 'Tis the old ship of Zion. 'Tis the old ship of Zion. Get on board. Get on. Get on board. It has landed many a thousand. It has landed. Get on board. Come on and get on board. King Jesus is the captain. King Jesus, Lord, he is the captain. Get on board. Get on. Get on board. Let the church say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Yeah, 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 yeah. Say. Church, he made a way. Oh, he made a way. You made a way. You made a way. Lord, you made a way. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I want to thank you, Lord. You brought me out. Lord, you brought me out. I live to tell the story. You brought me out. You brought me out. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I know. You brought me out. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for being the captain on this ship of Zion. Thank you for letting us get on board. Heard the word preached. We're able to give you the preacher our hand and give you our heart, and we got on board. So, Father, thank you for salvation this morning. Thank you for saving us, bringing us into the family. Now, Father, your word must go forth. I pray that it would be with clarity, conviction, and with power. Do it for your people now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give God glory today. Give honor to God. Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who are all with us and ever present, working for us. I want to just celebrate the best pastor in the world. Come on, can we give God praise? But I thought we were celebrating our pastor. Come on, can we celebrate the best pastor in the world? Man, in the world. In the world. I'm so glad to be son of Hopewell, but I'm so much more glad to be a son of Good Hope. Amen. Dr. Cofield is my uncle. He's my another father figure. He is all of that in a bag of chips. Don't need no dip. He's just that. And so just thank God for him, man. And I love him dearly. And anytime I get a chance to preach in this sacred place, he didn't have to give his preaching to anybody. But he allows us to stand before you, and so I'm grateful. If you would run with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 5. Beginning at verse number 1. Here the word of the Lord says, "On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And while he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered and said, 'Master, we've taught all night, caught nothing. But at your word, I'll let down the nets.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to the other partners in the other boat to come and help. And they came and filled both of the boats, and the boats began to sink." Let's jump down to verse number 11. "And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed after him." I want to talk from the subject this morning, how to launch a life that goes beyond the ordinary. How to launch a life that goes beyond the ordinary. My brothers and my sisters, each and every year, we stand on the cusp of a brand new year as we approach a new year, a new season. We approach it with a sense of anticipation and excitement because we're excited about leaving behind the old and launching into the new. Every January, for many of us, this transition is epitomized by the tradition of making New Year's resolutions, creating vision boards, and setting goals. It's a period where our lives come under scrutiny as though it is under a microscope, as we reflect on where we've been and where we want to go. Our aspirations are diverse, from shedding a few pounds to saving more money, pursuing a higher education, embarking on a new career path. Most of us are driven by the desire for personal growth and improvement, and we're eager to take the necessary steps to turn our dreams into a reality by shifting from the ordinary to the extraordinary. Well, January has come and gone. But here we are in April. And the question that yet remains is, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? How are you going to shift your life from the ordinary and the mundane into the extraordinary? With that being our launching pad, I want to talk from that thought, how to launch a life that goes beyond the ordinary. The first thing I want to share with you is that if you're going to do this, you must commit to doing the ordinary before you can do the extraordinary. Here in this passage of scripture, we are divinely seated as distant onlookers, as we are intentionally guided by the penmanship and lens of the gospel writer, historian, and physician Luke. Luke, in our text today, begins our sermonic lesson and discourse by giving us a snapshot, an essential view of the early ministry moments of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Luke chapter number 5 serves as the introduction to the radical nature of the ministry of Jesus and the growing opposition from religious leaders as he is seen in power and in authority. He's teaching, he's healing, and calling forth his disciples. This being the foundation from which Luke writes, Luke commences within our selected scriptures to give us an object lesson from the example of a man's life by the name of Simon Peter. Peter is one who would yield himself to God and later ascend through the apostolic ranks in Christendom for the proliferation and advancement of the kingdom. According to our text today, he is not identified here as an apostolic figure. Simon Peter is identified as a fisherman. Well, let me give you the background so I can give you the breakdown. The context suggests that the setting of this scene is on Gennesaret. There is an eager, vast crowd who has assembled and united for the sole purpose of hearing the word of God from Jesus, the master teacher. The Bible says that there is a large multitude that have begun to press upon Jesus, and so much so in an effort so that he could be effective in his discourse, Jesus begins to survey his surroundings and he begins to point out two vacant boats that belong to two fishermen who at this particular point were out washing their nets. The Bible says that one of them belonged to Simon Peter. This is significant because prior to Peter being called and chosen to provide extraordinary service to the Lord, he's found doing the ordinary. The Bible says that he, along with the other fishermen, are washing their nets. This alone suggests unto us that before we are told anything or introduced to the following verses within this passage, these men had concluded the ordinary work of fishing on the Lake of Gennesaret. We know this to be true because fishermen of that day and time would wash their nets to get rid of the excess weeds that were taken from the area of fishing. This is an important step at the conclusion of fishing because if the nets are not cleaned, they would dry out, rot out, and break, thus no longer being feasible for future use. So what this suggests suggests unto us that before Peter was called to be transformed to a life that the Lord wanted to use, Peter was found faithful in doing the work of a fisherman. This is significant because the pattern of God suggests that God never goes after those who are lazy, who are idle, who are slothful, and who are lethargic. Because whenever the Lord seeks to make an investment in the life of a person, he finds them being active and productive in their present profession and endeavor. And child of God, if you don't believe me, all you've got to do is look down through your Bible and you can see God uses people who are already busy and who are already at work. Matter of fact, when God called Moses, he was busy at work tending to the flock of his father, Jethro, in Horeb. When God called Gideon, Gideon was busy at work threshing wheat by the wine press. When God called David, David was busy at work being a shepherd to his father's sheep. When God called Nehemiah, Nehemiah was busy at work being the king's cupbearer. When God called Elisha to succeed Elijah, Elisha was at work plowing with a team of oxen. When God called Paul, Paul was a tent maker by trade. When God called Matthew, who is Levi, known as Levi, Matthew was busy being a tax collector. And the question is, what have you done lately and what are you doing currently that makes you a prime candidate
mandate to be used by God, guided by God, and introduced to a greater purpose for God. If God is going to pick you for the extraordinary, you've got to be proven in the ordinary. There's no way around it. You've got to put your time in. You've got to do the work. An old child of God, the reason why some of us haven't experienced your best life is because you're doing the minimum right now within your life, which is to say that it takes effort. Effort is required. That your now is just as important as your next season, because your now season will propel you into your next season. If you're lazy now, you won't be able to carry the load later. And all brothers and sisters, I heard somebody say it, that pray like it all depends on God, but you got to work like it all depends on you. And the challenge we have in the body of Christ, we don't have a problem producing a waiting faith. We've got a problem producing a working faith. And so God prepares ordinary people in the extraordinary when they are busy doing the ordinary. Never neglect the ordinary, because it serves as the catalyst for extraordinary. Anybody who's done anything worth recognition, anybody who's done anything, been used greatly of God, they first mastered how to do it ordinary. I got to move on from this point. I've been in the gym. Y'all know it and you see it. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's about to get real bad in the summer. You go prepare to be sick of me. Now, I'm in the gym and I tell my trainer, I say, Elliot, I want to lift weights. And I'm going just like this. I said, man, I'm ready, bro. I'm ready. Let's go. He said, Pastor, stop. I said, Elliot, you don't hear me. I pay you. You do what I tell you I want to do. He said, no, Pastor. He said, you want to lift weights. He said, here's what I'm going to have you do. Walk. He said, your problem is you want to be like those guys over there. He said, and you want to lift weights. He said, but you ain't walked in 3 years, Pastor. Just walk. He said, and if you walk long enough, I can take you to jogging. Then I can take you to running. And then I can take you to lifting. He said, but I can't put you under no weight yet, because you hadn't mastered the ordinary. And see, you thinking I'm talking about the gym. I'm talking about some of y'all. I'm talking about some of us in here who want to lift weights, who want to do the extraordinary, who want to do great things. But God is saying, God, when are you going to master the ordinary? Don't lift, just walk. Second thing I want to tell you is permit God access to what you possess. The Bible says, permit God access to what you possess. The Bible says that this listening crowd and a waiting congregation begins to pile in. They begin to press upon Jesus in an effort to hear what the Lord wants to say. And so before the Lord begins to break the light, the bread of life, Jesus makes an observation of an empty boat that belonged to Simon Peter. When Jesus sees a vacant water vehicle, the Bible says that he climbs in the boat that belongs to Simon Peter, and the text does not record Peter's consent by way of his words, but the text does say by way of his actions, he did not have a problem. Watch what the Bible says. The Bible says that after Jesus entered into Simon Peter's boat, Jesus asked him to thrust a little from the land that he might sit down and teach the people out of the ship. All right. Church, this suggests unto us that Peter allowed the Lord access to what he possessed. And as a consequence, Jesus took and transformed Peter's boat. He took Peter's boat from being a boat and turned the boat into a pulpit. In other words, what Peter did was he allowed the Lord to use what he had for his glory and for his divine purpose. Peter granted Jesus access to his boat, access to his business, access to his space, access to the things that was the thrust of his livelihood, and allowed him to take charge and the command, and he allowed him to be the commanding captain of his boat. And by adhering to this, brothers and sisters, Peter got a blessing. This alone shows us that whenever you give God access, not only can God fulfill his purpose, but God can transform what you have and use it as his platform to benefit others in the kingdom. But Peter gave his boat and the Lord transformed it to a pulpit. And the Lord can do the same for you and I today. If we would only give him what we have to use it for his glory, to use it for our good, and to use it for somebody else's benefit. Brothers and sisters, and somebody here, you need to get like Peter and give God the freedom to take charge and command of your boat, realizing that whatever you give him, he'll elevate it. If you give him your life, he'll elevate it. If you give him your knowledge, he'll elevate it. If you give him your talents and your abilities, he will elevate it. If you give him your finances, he'll elevate it. If you give him your marriage, he'll elevate it. If you give him your children, he'll elevate it. If you give him your dreams and your aspirations, he'll elevate it. If you give him, to give it to him, God will then elevate it, and you will see the benefits of giving God access to what you possess. Brothers and sisters, be like Peter this morning. Don't give him permission to be on board. Don't just give him permission to be on board, but give him permission to take control, as our pastor would say. Not only allow him to be resident, but allow him to be president. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't just give him access to dwell, but give him permission to dictate. And oh, my brothers and sisters, the question is, what have you done to keep God away from what you have? What area have you restricted him access? Realizing that whenever you restrict him access, you forfeit rewards. I like rewards. I ordered 5 books the other day, and they sent me a wine voucher. It was about $100 wine voucher. And I looked at the wine voucher and said, I need to order 5 more books. I like rewards. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that serving the Lord comes with rewards, because you never serve or render unto God without compensation. That's why the old church would say it this way, that I trust in God wherever I might be. But because serving the Lord will pay off. And so whenever God asks for your time, your talent, your testimony, your 10th, don't argue. Just give God what he wants. Because you'll never be sorry when you're giving to God. And matter of fact, I hear my grandmama saying, you can't beat God's gift. No matter how you try, the more you give, the more he gives to you. Just keep on giving, because it's really true that you can't be God's given, no matter how you try. Whether it's physical or spiritual, always position yourself to give him access to what you possess. Peter gave him his boat, and I think Peter shows us it's not always easy to give to him. But when you go back down memory lane and consider what he's already done for you, how do I know that? Because in Luke chapter number 4, just a chapter prior to this one, verse number 38 and 39, you'll discover that Peter's mother-in-law was sick. She had a great affliction, a great and terrible fever. And because Jesus was present in the house, they asked him to heal her, and the Bible says he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and immediately she was healed. Right. Peter shows us that when you consider all that he's done for you, and God, that it shouldn't be a problem from God to get nothing from you. Let me say it again. Whenever you consider what God has already done for you, it shouldn't be a problem to get nothing from you, because you ought to gladly, willingly, wholeheartedly, sacrificially offer service unto him. Third thing I want to tell you, if you're going to launch a life that goes beyond the ordinary, you got to pursue future possibilities despite your present reality. Watch what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus arrives at the conclusion of his message. and that he fixes his focus now on Peter. He says, Peter, go out into deep water. The Bible says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. In other words, Peter, let's go fishing in uncharted territory. It's here where Jesus tells Peter, go further, go deeper, push forward, forge ahead, advance, accelerate beyond shallow water. Peter, I want to show you and I want you to experience what I'm going to require in the next few years of your life. I want you to go the distance. Jesus called Peter to go into deep waters of Galilee, but he was calling him to go on a deeper adventure of faith. And brothers and sisters, that's what God is doing for us today. God is still extending the opportunity for you and I to leave shallow water, shallow commitment, shallow connections, shallow experience, and launch out and go all the way with him. Pushing beyond the boundary, exploring further, digging deeper in an effort for a greater experience. This is called twofold for our spiritual endeavors and our secular walk as well. Too many of us are content with shallow commitment. The blessed blessings are not found in shallow water, but they're in deep water. And God is calling us to go further. Question yourself today, how can I go deeper in my commitment? How can I go further in my commitment? Peter looks at Jesus and says, Master, we've taught all night. And I'm sad to report, we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, if you say so, I'll let down my net. In response to Jesus, Peter elects to put the Lord on notice about the previous things and his present reality. Peter said, Lord, I've taught all night. I've caught nothing. I worked at this thing all night and I was not successful. I've tried my hand all night and I've yielded no fruitful results. Lord, I've done what I could, but I've still failed in my efforts. And somebody here under the sound of my voice, you are like Peter today. You've taught, you've tried, and you've caught nothing. And your present reality is, Lord, this year can't be like last year. Because it seemed like I'm in the same place. No progress. Nothing seems to be working. Nothing seems to be catching. And I can't catch a break. If that's you today, Peter shows us what to do when you face with past failures. Peter shows us that whenever you are in that place, do what Peter did and render to God a nevertheless. At your word, I'll put down my net. Peter could do this because despite the reality, he heard what the Lord said. What did the Lord say? In so many words, the Lord said, Peter, I know you've been unsuccessful. I know you've been unfruitful. I know you've been ineffective, but try it again. And that's what the Lord is saying to some husband, some wife today. Try it again. Some mother, some father, try again. Some college student, some business owner, some ministry leader, some pastor, some divorcee, some wounded person. I know it didn't happen like you wanted it to, but try it again. Because this time is going to be different. This time is going to yield some different results. This time I'm going to blow your mind. Get up, wash your net, and try it again. Look at somebody and say, try it again. Come on, look at somebody and say, try it again. Now, that sounds like my favorite preacher, Aaliyah. My favorite preacher is Aaliyah. She's been my favorite preacher a long time. She said in one of her famous sermons, she said, at first you don't succeed, dust yourself off and try it again. And here's what I love about fishermen. Fishermen are used to going back into the very waters that discouraged them in the first place. And so, brothers and sisters, if you stay on that side of the promise, you'll always have the same reality of the testimony that you have. Taught all night and caught nothing. But thanks be unto God that there's the other side of that reality. That God says, if you give me the nevertheless, there's a great catch. There's a harvest and a future. Whenever you've taken God for his word, God would allow you to meet your promise. And I don't understand sometimes God's logic, but nevertheless. Sometimes, God, I don't understand the end result of your plan, but nevertheless. I've never done it this way before, God, but nevertheless. God, I'm disappointed and I'm hurt, but nevertheless. God, it's looking for a nevertheless mentality in somebody today. And somebody saying, well, Lord, what do you know about this? You're just a carpenter. Yes, he's a carpenter. He sees stuff how you don't see it. I look at wood and see wood. God looks at wood because he's a carpenter and sees a chair. Now I look at wood and just see wood. God looks at wood and sees a desk. Well, when I look at wood, I just see wood. God looks at a wood and he sees a chef. All I'm trying to tell you is it don't matter how you see it, because he is a carpenter. He can see it further than you can. I'm closing here, but he's a carpenter, and he calls Peter to a good day in fishing. He says, Peter, you've seen many good days, but today's about to be your best day. I'm calling for fishermen. And oh, brothers and sisters, Peter realized that whenever the Lord shows you who he is, it ought to remind you of who you're not. Peter did what the Lord told him to do. And the Bible says that he threw out his net and his net began to break. And I'm so glad Peter didn't stop at taught all night. But Peter went forward to nevertheless, because Peter realized if I give God a try, God will turn it around. And so the Bible tells us that there were so many fish that they had to call other people to help them with the load. And when you're fishing, they were fishing at that day because Peter was trying to draw fish to their death. But Jesus says, now I'm going to take you and I'm going to allow you to take me into their life. He says, I want you to be fishers of men. And all brothers and sisters, Peter teaches us that God can turn your life around. Last thing I want to tell you, you need to proceed on a pathway that follows after the Lord. The Bible says that Peter's response to Jesus was immediate. The Bible says Peter dropped everything and followed after him. And all I'm trying to tell you is that's what we need to do today. Drop everything and follow after him. And I'm wondering what happened, because that's where the story ends. That's where the text ends. So that's where the sermon ends. But I wanted to know whatever happened to old man Peter. Whatever happened to old man Peter. I looked over at Acts chapter number 2 and I found old man Peter. Chapter number 2 verse 14. The Bible says these words. And now Peter stood with the 11 and addressed the crowd on the day of Pentecost. Hold on, wait a minute. In this chapter, he's a fisherman. But in Luke, in Acts chapter number 2, the scripture reads, and now Peter stood with the 11 on the day of Pentecost. Church, I hear what you're asking. Where's Peter now? Peter's no longer an ordinary fisherman. Peter is now an extraordinary apostle. Peter is now in history books. Peter has now got his own building with his name on it. Peter now has books that talk about his life and legacy. God did the extraordinary with an ordinary fisherman. God took Peter from being a fisherman to being a vessel in the kingdom of God. And that's what I'm trying to tell somebody. Make up your mind that you're going to do something extraordinary. Make up your mind that you're going to launch a life that speaks to what God can do. Because if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, take my feet, touch my heart, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. I'm in my seat now, but the more you follow him, the more and the further he'll take you. Let me say it again. The more you follow him, the further he'll take you. If you follow his lead, he'll lead you to a straighter pathway. He'll give you a greater purpose. And then one day, he'll lead you to promise and paradise to be with him. So today, what day is it, church? Today is decision day. I said today is decision day. Make up your mind what you're gonna do with the rest of your life. Make up your mind what you're gonna do with the rest of your life. And here's my decision. I made it some time ago. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. And then my grandmama, if she was here today, she said, Cam, let Jesus lead you all the way. Lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I shall not stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, lead me. Oh Lord, lead me. And I'm trying to tell somebody, God wants you to live an extraordinary life. God wants to give you extraordinary blessings. But God is calling you to extraordinary service. Quit being mediocre. Quit being mundane. Step out. Step out on extraordinary ground and let the Lord use you. Look at somebody and say, neighbor. Look at another neighbor, because that wasn't right. Look at a neighbor and say, neighbor, neighbor. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. I said, look at somebody and say, God wants to use you.